Good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Richard Stepanek. I work with Alpha Omega Institute, and we are a creation science ministry. And what we deal with is science, and we show evidence that both Bible and science goes hand in hand. It is this pseudoscience of evolution. It's against Scripture, and it's also evolution's against science. People don't realize it, but evolution is not science. We talk more about that in a number of our topics. And if you want to know more about Alpha Omega Institute, just go to our website at discovercreation.org. We've got information there on science and on activities. And I will be teaching in Bloomington this next Sunday. Bloomington Bible Church, I'll be teaching some scientific information there and Scripture. This is my family. This is my wife, Sue. She will be at the book table here after this service. And she will also be teaching the children here today. And these are our four youngest children. And our youngest two, Joel and Sandra, are traveling with us. Now, this morning I'm going to be teaching out of Genesis chapter 2. Not only do we teach science, but we teach from Genesis chapter 1 through 11. Many people are confused about what is happening in Genesis. I'm going to start with Genesis chapter 2. We're going to take a look at first a little bit about Genesis chapter 1. There's a sequence in Genesis chapter 1. On day 3, God made plants. Then on day 5 and the first part of day 6, God made animals. And then God made man. When we take a look at Genesis chapter 2, we get a different sequence. In Genesis chapter 2, first God makes man, then he makes plants, then he makes animals, and then he makes the woman. Different sequence. I was taught in a false church that I used to attend. I no longer attend that church. I left it because of creation. It was creation which brought me into a Bible-believing church. They taught me that Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 are two different creation stories. Are there two different creation stories or accounts? How many times did God create? Did he not do it just one time? I was taught in this false church that neither one of them were true. They were just mythology. Well, the Bible's not a myth. Genesis is true history. But do we have a problem here? Can Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 both be true? Yes, there is no problem. They work perfectly together. When you read Genesis chapter 1, what God is doing is he's giving us a quick scenario of the 6 days of creation. It's kind of like if I went on a trip, or if you go on a trip, you go on a 6-day trip. You come home, and your family and friends wants to know what you did on that trip. So you give a clue. Quick overview of what you did each day. On day 1, I did this. On day 2, I did this. On day 3, I did this. Day 4, I did this, and so on. But then you would tell your family and friends, you would say, but this is my favorite day. Now, if you're talking about your favorite day on a vacation, like if you went to Disney World or whatever, would you give your friend and families more information on what you did on that day? I think so. And that's how we read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 1, God's just giving us a quick overview of what he did on each day. But Genesis chapter 2, he's going to talk about his favorite day. What day would be God's favorite day? Day number 6. On day number 6, he made a creature in his image that he can have fellowship with. So when you read Genesis chapter 2, God is talking about day number 6. He's talking about his favorite day, and when he's talking about his favorite day, he's talking mostly what happened in the garden. So when you read Genesis chapter 2, he's talking mostly about what happened in the garden and what he's doing in the garden. And we skip Genesis chapter 1. That would give us more detail what's going on. In Genesis chapter 1, outside the garden, he has made plants, animals, and then he's going to make man. Genesis chapter 1, he's going to be talking about what he did in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, there's a different scenario. And we will talk about that. Genesis 2:5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Well, I don't think there was any rain until the flood. Conditions were just so that it couldn't rain. And then God caused the flood, and then we got rain. But why were there not any plants in the field? because there was not a man to till the ground. I used to farm. I'm an ex-farmer from southwest Minnesota. Grew corn and soybeans, cattle and hogs. And we had fields and we had pastures. Now, fields we plowed and tilled, but we do not plow and till a pasture. When my dad told me to go out rich, plow the field, I knew I better not plow the pasture, otherwise I'd be in big trouble. Fields you till, pastures you don't. This is from India. I use this to explain this to the Indians. Here we have a field. It's a rice field, rice paddy here. They are tilling the field. It's a little wet there. They just farm a little bit different than we did in Minnesota. That's the field, and this is the pasture. These people here at this Bible seminary, they're playing cricket. Now, cricket is something like baseball, but it's a little different. With cricket, you carry your bat, but with baseball, you drop your bat. They could not figure out, Rich, carry your bat. I always kept dropping it, but that's beside the point. This is a pasture. You don't till it. Inside the garden is the, what would that be? That's the field. And we're going to talk about that. Genesis 2:6. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So how did God keep everything green? It wasn't by rain in the beginning. It was by an underground mist. God had this underground water supply, which he broke forth during the flood. But that water supply before the flood kept the earth nice and green. Now, over in Grand Junction, I live in a desert. To keep my grass and trees nice and green, I use an underground irrigation system. It's hooked onto, I have a pump there. I got water coming to the pump. When I want to water the grass, all I do is flip a switch. That pump pressurizes the pipes underneath the ground, and guess what comes out from underneath the ground? Comes a mist. I mean, it's a mist that comes out from underneath the ground. You know, we didn't invent this irrigation underground irrigation system. Guess who already had invented this underground irrigation system? God has, and it works very, very well. And it also works very well in Grand Junction to keep our lawns and trees nice and green by using an underground mist. Because if we didn't water our grass, it would turn brown. And before the flood, God had this water canopy that would put a nice protective shield around the earth, protecting us from the harmful rays of the sun. That would be above the earth's atmosphere. And so it would make a perfect condition on the earth, and God kept everything green by this underground mist. But when the flood came, things changed drastically. Then in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, he has no plants in the garden yet, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But now he forms man, and he breathes into him, and he becomes a living soul. Well, God plays with the mud. Have you ever played with mud when you were a kid? Guess what God does? He gets the dirt, makes a man. Now, is the man alive when he puts the dirt together? No. What causes him to come alive? God has to breathe into him. So is there more to life than a bunch of chemicals working together and so on? Yes, there is. Life is not just a bunch of chemicals, but there's more to life than what meets the eye. And when we take a look at this man, this word soul means activity of mind, soul. So do human beings, do they have a mind? Do they have a thinking process? Yes, we do. This word breathe means spirit. Does man have a spirit? Yes, we do. And also, we have the dust of the earth. Does man have a body that's made from the elements of the earth? Yes, we do. So a man, every human being, has a body, has a mind or soul, and has a spirit. Now, every human being is one person, but to have that one person, it takes what? A body, mind, and spirit. We are truly made in God's image. We are one, but yet we're also what? Three. God is one, but he's also three. We are truly made in his image. God is spirit, and we also have a spirit. Now, then after he made man, verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Okay, what's God telling us here? God planted a garden, and where is this garden located? It's located in a place called Eden. Yes. Here we have our earth. We missed Genesis chapter 1, so I'm kind of starting in the middle of the story. On this earth that God created on day 3, there is a place called Eden. And in this place called Eden, there is a garden. I don't know if you follow me here. But on this earth, there's a place called Mackinac. That's a city not too far away from here, is that correct? Haven't been there yet, but they tell me it's there. There's a city called Mackinac. Mackinac is in the state of what? Illinois. Illinois is in the country of what? United States. United States is in the continent of what? North America, which is on the earth. Now, there is a garden, which is in the place called Eden, which is on the earth. That's what we're talking about in Genesis chapter 2 here. There's the garden. So we have Eden, and in this place called Eden again, there's a garden. And eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So what we have here is God did not make Adam in the garden. Adam was made outside the garden, and eastward of the man, he made a garden. And he took the man, and then he put him in the garden. Continue on, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. I hope you're all with me now. He makes the man outside the garden. He puts the man inside the garden. And then God makes what? What does he make next after man's in the garden? Trees. Adam watches God make trees right in front of his eyes. Does Adam know God is God? Yes. He watches them make trees. And he makes a wonderful place. I mean, the Garden of Eden is a very nice place. I believe it's nicer than what's outside the garden. Because this is a special place where God and man are going to have fellowship. It's kind of like a sanctuary. Super nice place. And in this garden, there's the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden. And there's also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But not only do we have the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, we also, when we read Revelation, guess what we're going to have in Revelation 22? There's also going to be the tree of life. You have this Genesis revelation going back and forth all the time. And then in this Garden of Eden, there is a river. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So out of Eden comes a river that flows into the garden, and it breaks into four heads. Well, we can read about a similar river in Revelation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In Revelation, there's this river. It comes out of the throne of God and goes into the rest of the world. We have this creation, Genesis, and Revelation going back and forth. And there's a number of rivers. One is Pison, and it goes around a land called Havilah. So I believe it goes something like this. There's Havilah. Then in this place called Havilah, there's gold, and this is good gold. You could read about gold in Revelation. Revelation 21:21 talks about the 12 gates, talks about the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So when we take a look at gold, pure gold is, what is it? Pure gold is transparent. Do we have pure gold today? We can't see through it, can we? And in heaven, in Revelation, the streets are going to be paved with gold. So why are we doing so much work and trying to get a lot of pavement? There's a joke, maybe you've heard of it. It's this real good man that lived on this earth. He was a really good man, good believer. He was very, very wealthy, and one of God's angels came to him and said, "Sir, get your life in order because in a few days you're going to die. God's going to take you to heaven." And the man said to this angel, "Can I take something with me to heaven?" "No, that's not part of the deal. You came with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing. But I'm so good, and I did all these good things for God. Can't I bring something, just one little thing?" The angel said, "Well, I'll check on it." He goes back, comes back a day later, says, "Yes, you can bring just one thing." So the man's thinking, "What can I bring to heaven?" So he's got the idea. He gets his suitcase, packs it, he dies, he goes to heaven. You know, this is not theologically correct, I'm just having a joke here. But Peter's there, he's before the pearly gates, and the guy comes and he's carrying the suitcase, and Peter looks down at him and says, "You cannot go into heaven with that suitcase." But he said, "Peter, you told me I could come into the heaven, or this angel told me I can come into heaven with this. Well, before you do, I have to check that suitcase." So he throws that bag up, and Peter opens it. He looks inside the bag. He looks at the guy, and he's really puzzled by looking inside the bag. And looks at the guy and says, "Why are you bringing pavement into heaven? Don't bring pavement into heaven. Bring your good works into heaven." Yes. Now, we can't be saved by good works, but after we're saved, we should be doing what? Ephesians 2:10, good works. And then there's another river called Gihon. Goes around the land called Ethiopia. I believe it looks something like that. And then we have Hiddekel, which is sometimes called Tigris River, goes east of Assyria. Something like that. And then we have the fourth river, Euphrates River. Goes down. Now, if this is what the garden looked like, I don't know. I'm trying to take what God has written in Scripture and try to put it together with what I believe it probably looked like. But it probably looks something like this. But when we take a look at the garden, we have a place called Ethiopia. We got a place called Assyria. We got a river called the Tigris River. And there's also Euphrates River. The question is this. We have a place called Ethiopia today. There used to be a place called Assyria. We have the Euphrates River and the Tigris River. Now, are these the same places and the same rivers as we do today? I don't think so. What happened 4,000 years ago to destroy all things that are on this earth? The flood. Ethiopia, Assyria, and the Tigris River and the Euphrates River of the Garden of Eden has been destroyed. That's buried under tons of sediment. Yes. But we have Assyria today, Ethiopia today, and we have the Euphrates River and the Tigris River. How do we explain that? We have it today. Well, when you take a look in times past, when people from Europe came to the United States, like I used to live up in Minnesota, I'm part German. A lot of Germans came from Germany and came to Minnesota to settle Minnesota because Minnesota was similar to that of Germany. See, when people came from the old country, they would look for land and rivers that they came from in the old country here in the United States. There is a place in Minnesota called New Ulm. It's a city called New Ulm. Why is it called New Ulm? It is named after an older city in Germany called Ulm. So when people came from the old country here, they would see a river, and they would name it and give it the same name as a river back in the old country. Or they build a civilization, call it the same name as back in the old country. So when people came off the ark, when they came off the ark someplace in here, came in the Valley of Shinar here, they would see this river, they say, "Oh, that reminds us of the Tigris River before the flood." Or the Euphrates River, that would remind them of the river that was before the flood. So they named these rivers after the names before the flood. These are not the same rivers that were in the garden. Now, some people ask me, "Rich, where do you think the Garden of Eden is? Is it in Babylon?" I don't think so. Babylon is always known for its what? Evil and sin. That's right. Thank you. You can talk to me. Evil and sin. No. So I don't think Babylon is where the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden isn't buried underneath the Babylon. When we take a look at this earth, where is God's special place on this earth? It's always been God's special place. Israel, that's right, Jerusalem. Melchizedek, the high priest of God. If the Garden of Eden is buried under anything, I believe it's buried under Jerusalem and Israel. I don't know for sure. That's my speculation. That's been God's special place. Jerusalem. Yes, not Babylon. That's a forsaken, sinful place. And God put him in the garden here, as we look at it in verse 15. This word put is an interesting word. It means to rest, to settle down, remain, have rest, be quiet. God puts the man in the garden to have rest. But not only that, well, Matthew 11 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hebrews talks about rest and rest. But this rest also means, has more to it. Verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to dress it. What does that word dress mean? It means to work, to serve, to be worked, to till the land. God gave Adam a job. Did you know God created Adam to work? Men, people, we are created not for idleness, but for work. But God's work is restful work. That's what it's saying here in the garden. Man, how would you like to get up in the morning and say, oh man, I'm going to go get some rest today. I'm going to work. Wouldn't that be great? When you go to work, you get really rested up. Because Adam did not work up a sweat until after he got kicked out of the garden. He didn't work a sweat up in the garden. So that work that Adam was doing was pleasant work. Yes. Wouldn't that be great if you just couldn't wait to go off to work? Huh. Well, we go back to Genesis 2:5. Why wasn't there any plants in the field? Because there was not a man to till the ground. Adam was created and made to do what? To dress and till or work the ground. Yeah. That's why there weren't any plants. There was no man yet in the garden. And then there's the word keep. Not only is he to dress the garden, he was to keep the garden. This word keep is a very interesting word. It means to beware, a watchman, keep watch, ward, protect, to keep, preserve, protect, be on one's guard. Who is God talking to here? The man? Okay, women, you can go to sleep for a little bit. I'm going to talk to the men now. Men, we are to be keepers of what God has made. Yeah. What did God want Adam to protect or guard? He's telling Adam to protect and guard the garden. But not only I think it's more than just the garden, his word. God is going to give Adam a commandment to keep. And I think he gave him some other things to do too. And Adam's job is to protect and keep and to guard God's word and the garden. I think God knows what's going to happen. I hope you're all with me. Men, who are supposed to be the protectors and spiritual leaders of the family? Who's the protector and spiritual leaders of the family, men? Is it the women? No, it is the men that are the spiritual leaders and protector of the family. Men, who are supposed to be the protectors and spiritual leaders of the church? Who? Men, it's our job. It's not the women's job. It is. Men, if we are not doing that job, we are not being obedient to the Lord. This is serious stuff. And when I go into Genesis chapter 3, we see the seriousness of Adam not being the protector and the leader of the family. Now, there's a purpose for the women. We're going to get to that, hopefully. If I don't run out of time here, I better keep going. See, in 2 Corinthians, you know, they warn the people, beware of people who are going to corrupt the word of God. 2 Timothy talks to the men, commit thou to faithful men. Men, we're the spiritual leaders. It's up to us. The church is falling apart, not because of out there, because the men, we're not doing our job. And it goes on and on. And we're going to need to contend for the faith in Jude. We've got scripture throughout. Men, we need to contend for the faith. Protect the word. Teach the word. Pass it down to the next generation. And to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Men, do we need to work and labor in the word of God? You better believe it. And this word workman means to be a workman and labor. We need to be working, men. There's no time for idleness. Time is running short. Then God gives Adam this commandment, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We talked a little bit about this last night, the deer feed. That word die right here means to have one execute it. What God is telling Adam is, on the day you eat of that fruit, you're a dead man. He died physically right away, but he's also supposed to die spiritually. Yeah. Or not spiritually, but physically. Blood had to be shed. For the wages of sin is death. Same for Adam as it is today. John 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, God is going through and saying, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good. Now, in Genesis chapter 2:18, God said, it is not good. Does that mean God made a mistake? No. What does that not good mean? It's not complete. Something is missing. What is missing? Well, he's got the man, he's got the animals outside the garden, but he's going to make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. God is now making animals. But weren't animals made before man? Well, in Genesis chapter 1, these are the beasts of the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, we'll talk about this. These are the beasts of the field. What's the field? A field is a place that is tilled. What is tilled? The garden is tilled. Take a look at that. These are the beasts of the field inside the garden. When you read Genesis chapter 1, it's always the beast of the earth. In Genesis chapter 2, it is the beast of the field. This is another group of animals that God makes after he makes Adam inside the garden. I hope you understand that. So Adam is there and he sees God make animals. Does God or does Adam know that God is God? Yeah, he sees them making animals right in front of his eyes in the garden. These are in the garden. The animals outside the garden were made on day 5 and before man was made on day 6. And he makes the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and so on. So he makes all these animals with Adam. And he gives them, brings them to Adam to see what he would call them. Well, he names these creatures. He names the cattle. He names the fowl of the air. He names the beast of the field. Now, he does not name all the animals that God has made. He names cattle, birds, and beasts of the field. Genesis chapter 1, the living creatures that live in the sea and the waters, he didn't name those on day 6, he named them later, and he did not name the creeping things. He just named the birds, the beasts of the field, and the cattle. And there really isn't that many different kinds of creatures. Adam did not have to make or name the lions and the tigers and the panthers and the mountain lions and the domestic cats. God made the cat kind, so all he had to do is say, cat. That's a dog. Those are elephants. Those are horses. And Adam was very bright. He didn't have to think, oh, what should I call this creature? Let me think. No. Cats, dogs, bear. He didn't make polar bears. They come about later. He just made the bear kind. I hope you understand that. I go into more detail in Genesis chapter 1. But do animals cut it, men? Are animals a good helpmeet? No. Adam knew it wasn't a good... Animals weren't a good helpmeet. He had to make a good helpmeet for him. And he puts, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. We take a look at this verse. What is happening here? What's going on? You can talk to me. What's taking place? There's a procedure. It's called an operation. And before you start cutting into a person, what should you do to that person before you start cutting into him? Put him to sleep. You know how the science of anesthesiology got started? A doctor was reading this verse and said, hey, that's an operation. God put his patients to sleep. And what should we do to our patients before we start cutting into them? Put them to? Is the Bible full of scientific information? You better believe it. This was in Scripture thousands of years before modern medicine ever came up with it. It's also interesting, too, Adam did not have one less rib than the woman. If the operation is done just right, that rib will grow back in. And of all the bones in her body that can reproduce and replace itself, it's the rib. Interesting. But why did God take a rib? Why didn't God take a piece of the skull and make the woman? I think why is because he didn't want the woman to be head of the man. Why didn't he take a piece of the backbone and make the woman? He didn't want the woman to be where? Behind the man. Why did he take a rib? You know when I think he took a rib? Where is the woman supposed to be? Men? The side. Right here, we put the arm around her and we can protect her. Who's the protectors, men? We are. That woman there is to help us do what God has told us to do. She's the helpmeet to help us to do what God has told us to do. Now, then he brought the woman to the man, and made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, what is taking place here? This is a marriage ceremony. When I got married, I was up front, and my wife's father brought the bride up to me. Here is the father, God the Father, bringing the bride up to the bridegroom. There's a marriage taking place here. Yeah. I'll jump over this. The man's name changes. Actually, this man and this word man are two different things. This just means man. This means a husband. After the man gets married, he changes. Men, I don't know about you. When I got married, I was not the same man as I was before. Women do something to men. I don't know about you, but my wife has done something to me. I am not the same man as I used to be. And that's probably, that is a good thing. It's not probably a good thing. It is a good thing. Women just get the best out of men. Yeah, she kind of civilized me. Yeah. And this is bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh and called woman. Now, we see a scenario with Christ. Adam went to sleep. Out of his side came his bride. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, he took on a form of sleep, which is death. God sometimes talks about death as sleep. Remember Lazarus? Jesus says, Lazarus sleepeth? And then the guy says, well, the disciple says, if he sleepeth, Lazarus, he's going to get over sickness. And then God says, Jesus Christ says, no, he's dead. Are you all with me? I hope so. Well, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, he had to die, which takes a form of sleep, and he got speared through his side, and out of his side comes his blood and water, and out of his blood comes his bride, the church. Out of the last Adam, from his death, and from his side, comes his bride, the church. The first Adam takes a form of sleep. Out of his side becomes his bride. We got this first Adam, last Adam, going back and forth all the time. And they were one flesh. And they were naked and they were not ashamed. And they were literally naked, by the way. But everything was perfect. There was no sin. Every thought was perfect. Yes. And then we go to Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That finishes both Genesis chapter 1, and that also finishes Genesis chapter 2. After the woman was made, everything was very good. And that takes us into Genesis chapter 3, which I'm out of time. That's another topic, which is a good topic, but it's a sad topic. But again, everything was very good. Thank you very much.